Okay, we're going to be in Esther chapter number 4. I know we've been here before, but that's okay. We're kind of covering Esther a different way than what we normally do whenever we have sermon series, because a lot of times I'll just start at the beginning and go passage by passage. But since Esther is a narrative, it is telling a story, we're kind of jumping at different points and topics and themes throughout the story and seeing what we can draw from this book. And so a few weeks ago, the Lord kind of laid a thought on my heart about this particular passage, and that's what we're going to look at today. And it kind of fits in with what we've been looking at all throughout the service today. But anyway, before we get started, let's go ahead and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump right on into our study here. Lord, we come to you once again today. Thank you so much for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for the way that you put things together, the way that you order our steps. We thank you, Lord, for your providence, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those times whenever we're in difficulties and hard circumstances, whenever the storm is raging, Lord, that you'll provide that little cleft in a rock, that you'll cover us with your wings, Lord, that you will just watch us and see us through those times, Lord. And Lord, I know too often we try to weather the storm on our own. We try to push through it and persevere, Lord. Lord, help us to learn this lesson, Lord, to run to you and allow you to walk us through the storm and keep us through the storm, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, ask you just to help us, Lord, as we look at this passage here today, that you would guide and direct us and help us open up our understanding to it, or that we would be encouraged and that we would grow from it, Lord. Be with those who are unable to be here with us, Lord. Be with those who are going through difficult times and struggles, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, minister exactly as is needed. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, that today would be the day that they would be saved, Lord. We've talked about it extensively in Sunday school, and Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would finally put their faith and trust in you, Lord, and allow you to save their soul, Lord. We thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we've been looking through the book of Esther so far, we've been in it for several weeks, and we're going back and forth through the story, as I said, just picking up different themes. And so last week, we were celebrating Father's Day a couple weeks late, and we compared two prominent father figures in the book of Esther. Now, both of them weren't biological fathers, and I don't think that necessarily matters. But they were two father figures, and we find Mordecai was a selfless and godly man who put family first and did that which was right. But then on the other hand, we find that Haman was a man who is driven by pride and by selfishness and by ambition. And so in his life and his family and everything around him, he came first and he was willing to sacrifice anyone and anything for what he wanted. And at the end, he lost all because of that selfishness and ambition that he had. And so our challenge last week was to examine our lives and see which man we were more like, whether we were driven by pride and ambition or selflessness and love and looking toward other people. And then the other thing was, what kind of people are we following? What kind of people are we following? Because we can have aspirations. We can look toward other people. We can set up idols, as the world calls it, people that we aspire to be like. And which one of them do they more closely represent, Haman or Mordecai? Not too many people in this world that want to be like Mordecai. And that's one of the problems. We need more Mordecais. Okay? And so today we're going to continue in Esther, and the overall story of Esther is God's salvation of his people through his working providentially in the lives of his people. And so the Jews would have been annihilated had Haman's plan have worked, right? Haman had had them marked for death. There was a genocide in the works here. And if the Jews would have been annihilated, the lineage of the promised Messiah would have also been wiped out. As you realize, through these people that Haman wanted to kill is the lineage that Jesus came through. One of those who were marked for death would have been Mary and Joseph's great-great-great-grandparents, right? And so God decided not to leave things untouched because his word will come to pass. God will not lie. God will not go back on his word. He will not be confounded. And so anyway, in his wisdom and power, he moved people and circumstances, just like pieces on a chessboard, to foil the enemy's plans, and he did it well. And that's the story of the book of Esther. And so as we've discussed in a previous message, The people involved in all of this were largely unaware of God's activities. As I said, in the book of Esther, God's name isn't mentioned one time. They're just going about their business. And they can't see, we can see clearly now, but they couldn't see then that God was at work in their lives and in their circumstances. And so I think that most of us also today still remain largely unaware of God's activities in our lives. And I don't say that in any way as an indictment on us, because I think that that's the way that God wants it to be. I don't think that God wants us to always just obviously see Him at work. I don't think that He does things in flashy ways just to say, hey, here I am. Because Jesus didn't minister in that way even while He was on the earth, did He? But I believe that God still enjoys working quietly behind the scenes. I think He's still quietly involved in people's lives today, because I don't think that we as mortal men and women could comprehend God's activities even if they were right before us. I don't think that we could understand all the things that God is doing because it is so comprehensive. Just think, if you will, for just a moment here, just for a bit of an illustration, how many lives intertwine with one another, how much one decision affects and kind of ripples out in waves to other people, and how one decision on my part can affect the lives of many other people, and one decision on the part of someone that I've never met, never seen, never heard of, never will, can still affect my life. And so as all of the lives are so interwoven and intertangled in each other, even if we don't see it happening, so many events are interdependent on one another that we can't even comprehend it. God is aware of all of those interactions, all of those dependencies. He's aware of all of those effects that's going on, and He is able to orchestrate and to work out His plans perfectly. I don't think we can even begin to imagine how much is involved in that. But to God, that's what He does. That's who He is. From getting the right people in office to putting the right people at the right place at the right time, like Philip in the middle of Gaza desert with Ethiopian eunuch, just at the time that he was reading Isaiah 53. You know all the things that had to happen? I wonder, as the Ethiopian eunuch was leaving Jerusalem, how many hindrances there were along his route. How many times he was going along and something got in his way and slowed him down. If he forgot something and had to go back and collect it. All these different things that happened as he was leaving Jerusalem that got him to the right place at the right time for a divine appointment for Philip the Evangelist. Think about it. We don't understand how much God's doing behind the scenes, do we? And so I think we need to be aware and we need to be confident of God's workings, even if we can't see it. We need to just take it to heart, take it to mind that we serve a big God, we serve a powerful God, and He is doing things that we can't understand, that we can't comprehend, that we can't imagine, things that are having implications for generations even, that are spanning continents and spanning time, and He's doing all of these things, and He's also working in your life and in mine. We need to be assured of that because that's who God is. And that takes a lot of pressure off of us as well, doesn't it? Because sometimes I feel like I'm the one that has to put all the pieces together, whenever in reality I'm just the piece that He is putting into His puzzle. It's not up to me to put it there. And so, just as back in Esther's day, God is still working His will and His plan. And to do so, He is orchestrating many events. He is shaping and moving people around. And I'm not a believer in coincidence. As I pointed out several times, just like with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, that was such a good example that goes along with this. It just so happened that they were in the right place. No. God orchestrates things. So let's look at Esther, chapter number 4. And I know I read this the other day, but we'll read it again. Esther chapter 4, verse number 6. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king, unto the innermost, or into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so our attention is going to be drawn to that last part of verse number 14. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So we've already been talking quite a bit again about the providence of God and how God orchestrates things. And as I said already, these people weren't aware of God's activities in their life. Notice that Mordecai says, who knows? Maybe you were just put here for this time and for this event. Who knows? We look back at it. We know. God knows, right? But he says, who knows? Maybe this is just the providence of God working out so that you are able to bring deliverance to your people, right? And so as we look at this here, we've already seen that Haman had set his plan for genocide in place. Esther was unaware until Mordecai in this passage sends to her and tells what's going on. And whenever she becomes aware of it, Mordecai puts a challenge to her. He tells her, you are in a place at the right time in which you can address the king and do something about this. And what's Esther's response? Everybody knows the law of the Persians. If I come before the king uncalled for, then he'll kill me unless he holds out his scepter. But that's a gamble. So he hasn't called for me these 30 days. It may be even longer before he calls for me again. So there's no way that I am able to go and speak up on behalf of the Jewish people. I am not the one to rescue them. Sorry, seems that you're mistaken. But Mordecai responds to her and tells her she needs to go and plead with the king because you may very well have been put here for such a time as this. And so essentially what he tells her in this passage is lives hang in the balance and you're in a place to make a difference. And maybe you were put in this place at this time for this reason. So as we consider our lives, if we consider where we are at this point in time, have you ever considered the providence of God in your life? Have you ever considered that your life at this very moment may not just be the result of chance or of circumstance? It may not be that you just stumbled into this, but that God actually has a purpose and a point to your life, that he actually has a purpose and a point to the things that have befell you up until this point, and that God very well may be directing your steps to bring you to the very place in your life that you are now, because God has a purpose for each one of his children. And he doesn't leave it up to chance. We're not just stumbling through the dark. We're not just the victims of evolution and circumstance and happenstance and all these things. But we are the children of an almighty God, and God is at work in our lives, as I said, whether we can see it or not. And so as we look at Esther here, Mordecai puts up this idea that just maybe something bigger than us has been orchestrating your life to bring you to this place and time. Just maybe, just consider it for a moment, right? And maybe for each of us in here today, like Esther, God has brought us to this place and time for a purpose bigger than ourselves. And so I want to draw a couple parallels between God's working in Esther's life and his working in our lives. We might protest and say, but that was Esther, but that was another person at another time. She was a queen. She was a Jew. She was a special person. And so God doesn't work in my life like he did hers. That was a special circumstance. But I venture to say that Esther would have said the same thing. God's not working in my life. It was, here I am, I'm married to a Persian king. Surely that's not the will of God. These guys are trying to kill my people. Surely that's not of God. All these things that befell me, I don't believe that God's working. I don't think he's anywhere even around me. It was probably what Esther would have said. Right? And as I stated already, Mordecai even said, who knows? He didn't believe necessarily that God was at work. He just said it's a possibility, right? Our lives might be different than Esther's, but we still serve the same God, and that God doesn't change. He's still working the same way in the lives of his children. And so I want to just draw a few parallels here, look at a few different things in this story of Esther and bring it into our lives and apply it to our lives, okay? So the first thing that I want to bring out in this is that there was purpose in God's providence. There was purpose in it. And so all through the book of Esther, I've already kind of laid this out, but all through this, God's purpose was the salvation of his people. As we look through the story of the Bible, the story of the Bible is creation, fall, redemption, restoration. There, I just abridged the entire Bible. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And that's God's plan for mankind. He's laid it out from the very beginning, all the way back in Genesis chapter number 3. He told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And that was a promise of the Messiah that would one day come, and that evil would one day be defeated. Okay? We see it typified in the clothing that he clothed them with. There would be something that died, someone that died on their behalf to cover up their sins and to pay their sin debt, because the promise was, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Someone died that day. It wasn't them. It was a substitute, right? So we see that from the very beginning, and God working throughout his word to bring about a Messiah. And so we see the Old Testament is God raising a people through which Jesus would come. Them getting the connections, making the influence, having all these things together. That's God forming this people. And then whenever we get to the New Testament, Jesus is born amongst them. All the Old Testament comes up to the place, it crescendos, if you will, with Jesus being born. That's what all the Old Testament is working for. And so Jesus brings about salvation. Esther's right there in the middle of it all. And as I said, if the lineage was cut short, Jesus would not have come. And so God was working his plan of salvation through his people back then. It wasn't just the salvation of the Jewish people, of the hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of Jews that would have been slaughtered in this genocide, but it was the preservation of that people for the Messiah to be born so salvation could come to this entire world. And so God put Esther in place because he had a plan of salvation for mankind, and he had a purpose for her in that plan to bring about salvation. God is always working to bring about the redemption and restoration of mankind. He is seeking to save whosoever will. He came to seek to save those who are lost. That's what he has been doing. He has a reason. He has a purpose. So it was more than just saving those Jewish people in Persia, but it was saving all the sinful men down throughout the ages that would trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he put Esther right in the middle of all of it into his plan to bring about salvation to mankind. And how many things did he have to bring into place? How many people did he have to move around, and lives did he have to move around? How much did God have to do to make that happen? A lot, right? How much of it were they aware of? None of it. They didn't know what was going on, but God was moving them around. He was making things happen. And this very thing that we're reading about here in Esther has an effect on the rest of what we read about in Scripture. And what Esther does, this choice that she makes as Mordecai challenges her in this passage, has an effect on your life today and mine. You all realize that? Because if the Jewish people had been wiped out, God would have been proven a liar. The ones through whom Jesus, or that God said that all nations of the earth would be blessed, would have been wiped out, and that blessing wouldn't have been able to come. But God's plans will not be foiled. He will foil the plans of others. And so this is what's going on here. And so I say all that to say this: God's purpose has always been redemption. And so he intervenes in the affairs of mankind for the good of man and to make salvation available. That's what he does. That's what he's about. See, he doesn't work things about providentially just to make your life cushy or to bring about worldly success or all these kind of things that many people chase after. In the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, they say, oh, God is working all of these things to give you riches and wealth and abundance now. And Esther could have latched onto that and said, hey, it's pretty good to be the queen and live in the palace and all these things. But Mordecai says, what if God had a bigger purpose for you than to put you in a palace and make you a queen? What if he has something greater, a greater work for you to do than that? Because in God's eyes, in God's mind, the salvation of souls is infinitely more important than being a king or queen. And so for Esther, the purpose of God's providence saved many hundreds of people, hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions. But it preserved that lineage through which Jesus would come to save millions and billions. And so Mordecai's challenge to her wasn't that she couldn't just sit in comfort in the palace and ignore it, because God had that higher purpose for her than peace and prosperity. So in our lives, God has the same purpose for us. There is no who knoweth. There's no guesswork to it. We know, the Bible spells it out for us. We are here for such a time as this. God has put us here for a purpose. He's actively working in this world and in each of our lives to fulfill his purpose. He seeks the salvation of men, and he has put us in a place to speak up and to make a difference. The purpose of the believer's life isn't comfort and ease, though we are thankful whenever it does happen that way, right? I'm not saying that you should shun ease and comfort and prosperity. I'm not saying that, you know, shun all of those kind of things, that Christians can't have that. But I'm saying that's not our purpose. And so we understand that there's a whole lot more to this life than the few years that we live here below. There's things that we can do that have eternal significance, and that works into God's purpose. And that is worthy of God working in the affairs of man to bring about something greater than the here and the now and what we're doing. So simply put, God is providentially at work in your life to bring about salvation for you and for you to be able to carry the gospel to others, for people to be saved. That's what God wants. The Bible says that Christ came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose, and it's still his purpose, and he's still seeking. So the second thing I want to bring out here, not just the purpose of his providence, but there was a place of his providence. There's lots of places on this world. There's many different places on this globe, and we've seen many of them, right? We've got people represented from all over this world. If you can look at our little globe we have over here beside Acadia, so many places that we could have been, but we're here. So many places that we could have ended up, but we're here. Even whenever the Lord was dealing with me about church planting and being a missionary and all these things, the whole world was before me. I could have ended up many different places, but God brought me here. Right? And God brought each and every one of you all here. And so for Esther, she was part of the Jews that were living in captivity in Persia. Life's events, the death of her parents, brought her into Mordecai's house, which was in the capital city of the empire. She was of the right age. She was unmarried. And whenever the proclamation went out that all the eligible maidens that were beautiful be taken into the palace, she was spotted by someone that took her in and put her there. She went through the whole beauty pageant. She kept gaining favor of different people, all these different things. But we keep seeing a place and a time in her life. It just so happened that she met the criteria. It just so happened that she was at the right place. It just so happened that these events came together to bring her here. Just so happened, right? God was working providentially in her life to put her to that place so that she could be chosen queen, so that whenever Haman started unwrapping his plans, which honestly, it could have been a lot easier if God would have just struck Haman dead. But anyway, God doesn't do things that way. But she found herself at the right place at the right time when the Jews needed an advocate. Right place and right time. And so the reason I say all this is that none of it was by chance. The place and the time in which you are at is not an accident. I'm not advocating on behalf of fatalism, this idea of whatever God puts in place is going to happen. I'm not saying that you have no control over whatsoever, just we're just pawns in God's little thing here working things out. Some people have that idea. Well, you can't change what God's going to do. Yes, you can. That's not what I'm advocating. But I'm talking about the providence of God, how God moves things in place. And this is what he's done. We do have control over what we do with his providence. We'll see that here in just a minute. But God is at work in our lives today. And so if you've ever thought it'd be great to, if you were born in a different age, I know I've thought several times it'd been great to be born back years ago before a lot of the things that we have now. But then there's positives and negatives with all that, right? Or born in a different place, different time, all these different things. I think it's common for people to think that, right? Dream about it. Wish you were somewhere else. But here's the truth of the matter. God has you here at this time, at this place. And he has you there for a reason, right? And so I believe the reason fits into God's purpose in the salvation of men, either yours or those you come in contact with. The place that you work, the house which you live in, the people you surround yourself with, and even to the day and day-to-day mundane things, sometimes it's where you're grocery shopping and when will lead to a conversation with someone who needs to hear about the gospel. It's providence. And so God can put you at the right place at the right time. And who knows that the things that are going on in your life might just be arranging a meeting that needs to take place. It might just be fitting you into God's purpose, either in your life or in someone else's. God has a way of doing these things, even down to the place and time, to fold you into his purpose. The third thing that I see in this is that God had provision for his providence. And what I mean by that, as God was putting Esther into this place, he gave her what she needed to do what he had for her to do. In Esther's case, she was beautiful because that she had to appeal to the king to become the queen, right? She was beautiful. Apparently, she was a good character and had a good personality. Because here's the thing, whenever she was meeting all these people, whenever she was underneath Hatach and the different ones there, she was gaining favor in their eyes by her beauty and by the way that she conducted herself. And she was making an impact in those ways. But God gifted her with those things. And I think part of it was because of the things that she went through, the people that she was around, all these different things that God had brought into place. He had formed Esther in a way that she could accomplish the task that he had brought her to do. And as I consider the way that he worked in Esther's life and all of the things about her that made her capable of doing what he had for her, it encourages me. And the reason it encourages me is because I can look at my life and I can see a lot of things about me that I believe are a liability and not an asset. I can see a lot of things that I wish I could change about me. God, I could be so much more effective if I was this, if I was that, if you would have made me a different way, if I had a different personality, if this or if... Anyone ever done that? And I start, and I've complained to God plenty of times, and I said, God, why have you made me like this? Why didn't you make me that way instead? We start comparing with other people, and we say, if only I was like them, I could do that better. But here's what we find, that God has made each person unique. He has given each person a unique personality, skill set, interests, things that they can do, things that they don't want to do, things that they're good at, things they're not good at. All of these different things fit into who they are and fits into God's plan for their life. I've said many times it would be extremely boring if everyone was exactly the same. And if everyone was exactly the same, there'd be very little getting done. But here's the thing. God makes a beautiful tapestry. And he makes so many different things to make people effective. And so my personality might be offensive to some people. But maybe Peter's personality fits right in with them well, so that Peter's going to be more effective with them than what I am. But then at the same time, maybe I'm going to be able to be more effective with this people than what he is. And I'm going to have interests that are different than each one of you, because it shapes you and makes you till you fit into God's plan. Kev loves surfing. Can't swim. I'm not going to be effective at reaching surfers unless they are pulling me out while I'm drowning, and I probably am not going to be able to tell them about Jesus except for I'm going to meet him. Okay? But Kev's interests and his skill sets puts him in line with different people than my interests and my skill sets puts me in line with. Same thing goes with Victoria and with Peter and with each and every one of us. We have different abilities, different skill sets, different interests that puts us in a different place in God's plan and in contact with different people at different times. And God is orchestrating all of it so that his people can be a witness for him and can share the gospel the world over. Because God's will for this world is that all men would be saved. He left us that we could go to all of the whosoever wills of this world, that we could go and preach the gospel to every creature. How do we do that? Well, there's some creatures he can reach, some that I can reach, some that she can reach, some that she can reach. And this is the way that God orchestrates it. And he has left us here for a purpose. He has put us in a place. He has put us at a time. He has formed us with a personality and with interests and with abilities. He's done all of these things in our lives to work his purpose in this earth. And so he has provided a way for us to serve his purpose. And so all of these things intersect to bring about God's plan. The fourth thing I want to look at here is the persons of his providence. Because all of this revolves around people, doesn't it? God's plan, God's purpose is all about the salvation of mankind. And for that, it revolves around people. And so God put people into Esther's life for two reasons, I believe. Mordecai was there to help her, to encourage her, and even to push her along in her growth, to push her along to fulfill God's purpose. And I think sometimes we need people to push us. I think we need people to encourage us. I think we need people to build us up and to help us along in God's purpose, because we have the tendency to settle into a rut. We have the tendency to idle, right? To coast. And so Mordecai came to Esther and he says, here you are sitting in the palace. You are at the prime position to do something. Don't squander that. Don't settle for a lesser purpose. Okay? So he was pushing her. But then at the same time, he put her in the palace because the king needed to hear what she had to say, right? And so in our lives as believers, God is going to bring us into the realm, into the sphere of other people's lives. He's going to put us in contact with people that can influence us and that we can influence. He's going to work in our lives so that there will be people that come to equip us, to push us, to egg us on, to get us to go along in God's purpose. Those building relationships, those restorative relationships, God's going to bring those people across our paths and connect us with people to help us. I think he's done that somewhat as a church family here, bringing us together, helping us to grow, pushing us along. But he's also going to bring people into our lives that need what we've got. Whether we need to be pushing and encouraging them a little bit, or whether we need to be taking the good news to them and telling them about the hope that there is in Jesus Christ and how he died to save their souls and to forgive their sins and for us to be a light and a witness to them. He has people that come into our lives for a purpose. And if we look at our relationships that are around us as having a God-given purpose, not necessarily just there for chance, but the relationships in our lives having a God-given purpose to build, to encourage, to help one another, and to show the love of God and to witness of his salvation to all those people around us have a purpose as God brings them across our path. So the last thing that I want to look at here is that his providence here, there is a pursuit of his providence. There's something that we have to do. I said earlier that I'm not an advocate of fatalism. I'm not teaching that if God provides and he does all these things that it's just going to happen and you can't help it. Because Mordecai comes to Esther, and in verse number 14, he says, if you hold your peace at this time, God's going to bring enlargement and deliverance from somewhere else, but you're not going to escape this. Because who knows, maybe God brought you to this place for such a time as this. Now, I'll argue with Mordecai for just a slight second here. There is no guarantee for us that God will raise up someone else if we keep quiet. There's this idea that, okay, well, I'm too shy. I can't do this. I can't do that. God will bring somebody else along. There's no guarantee of that. Now, for the Jews, God would have saved them regardless. Esther could have missed her blessing on that. But there's no guarantee today that if I have a coworker, a neighbor, someone else, that if I don't speak, that someone else will. There's no guarantee of that. And so it may be that I am the one that is placed there for such a time to be a light, to be a witness, to share the gospel with these people that God brings into my life. And if I choose to remain silent, I'm going to miss a blessing, and they're going to miss salvation. Because God has put us here for a purpose. He says to Esther, he says, you can just sit there and soak up the goodness of the palace. You can enjoy palace life while all the Jews are getting slaughtered. But you have a greater purpose. It's not just to get fat and wealthy. You've got a greater purpose to where you can make the difference in the lives of many, many different people. And so as we consider this today and what God has left us here for, I think we make it a lot more difficult than it has to be. It's not that it has to be some huge crusade. It's not that we have to be some kind of religious nut job going out and babbling one and one incessantly about nothing but the gospel. But what we see about this here is that God is orchestrating our lives, that God is doing so much in this. It's not about us, it's about him. And God is putting us in a place, in a time, with certain abilities and talents and interests, and bringing us into contact with different people that we can have an influence for the sake of Christ. I believe that how we live before them plays a major role in it. You notice all the way through the story of Esther, how she lives catches the attention of so many people around her and gains her the favor of them. That elevates her to a place where she can have greater influence. And so if you're working at a place, if you're living in an estate, if you're the way that you live, the way you carry yourself is going to give you entrance in their lives so that you're able to have a bigger influence. If you're living like the devil, don't think that you're ever going to be able to be a witness for the sake of Christ. Okay, that's simply what I'm saying. But how we're living this life gives us opportunities to be able to speak up. And I'm not saying lifestyle evangelism, that it's only about living and being a good person and keeping your mouth shut. But our lifestyle gives us the ability to be a witness to people, to tell them about the good things of God. And we have an opportunity to do so. God gives us those opportunities. And if we are willing to speak on his behalf, he will give us more of those opportunities, right? And so as you go about your life, know that you are a product of God's providence. The place that you're at, the things that are going on, the way that you're wired and the way that you think and the way that you act and the interests that you have all fit into God's plan. And he's going to bring you across different people's lives to build them up, to be built up, and to share the gospel. And if we're not careful, we get so distracted by the other things, the lesser things that are going on, we miss out on God's true purpose for our lives. We miss out on His providence. And so it takes us purposely pursuing God's providence, His direction, to fulfill this. As I said, it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. God's putting us all these things together for us. All we have to do is decide to take advantage of it. Decide to pursue it. Decide to speak up. To see these relationships and these circumstances as more than just happenings, as coincidences, but instead seeing it as God is working a purpose in me. God has a plan. God's got all these things that He's putting in place for my life. And the very last thing I'll say here is if anyone in here does not know Christ as their Savior, we've talked a lot about salvation today. If anyone in here does not know Christ as their Savior, I believe that God has brought you here for such a time as this. You've heard about salvation today. You've heard about what Christ has done. You've heard more than enough. But God's not going to make you be saved. He's not going to force it upon you. It is a choice that you have to make. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Will you be saved? That is a choice for you. So my challenge today, God's doing great things in our lives. Don't neglect Him. Take full advantage of the things, His purposes, the providence that He has in your life. And if we do, God will involve us and engage us in a greater work than we can even imagine. A greater work than being a king or a president. A work that's going to have everlasting consequences. And that's something that's worth giving our lives to, isn't it? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to You today. Thank You for Your many blessings. And we do thank You for this time that we've been here today. Lord, it's been great just thinking about all of the things that You have done to make salvation possible and the way that You work in our lives to carry out salvation to all of mankind, to make it available. And Lord, I pray, ask You, Lord, help us not to neglect all of these things that You've put in place in our lives. Help us, Lord, to see Your hand at work. Help us, Lord, to take advantage, Lord, of the things that You've done in our lives, the people that You've brought, the gifts and abilities, interests that You've put in, the time and place that You've put us, all of these things that You're working together, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of that. Help us to recognize it, Lord. And help us, Lord, like Esther, to open up our mouths, Lord, and speak on Your behalf to the salvation of mankind. We thank You so much for all that You do, and always we pray in Jesus' name. And amen.